I'm gonna be frank with you. It felt kind of weird to consider the possibility of making an episode of Arts Underground with just me telling you about my trip to Iceland. Because who wants to hear about that? I feel like after a while it's almost like sharing too many pictures of your grandkids with your friends. But after all that happened while I was there, and it was a lot, and the fascination that people in the US seem to have with Iceland and coworkers urging me to do it, I thought, okay, I guess I'll share this after all. From WLRH.
What you're going to hear about today is nothing short of a miracle. It's dramatically new, made possible only through years of research, inventions, and innovation.
This is Arts Underground.
I'm Sarah Williamson. What do you do when everything seems to be going wrong and you're the farthest away from home that you've ever been? I like to plan in advance. If you ask me to hang out last minute, I might just say no out of principle. I like to know what I'm getting into, and as a solo female traveler, this is especially true for planning my trips. I've been researching Iceland and planning this trip for about 5 years, ever since the remake of The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller came out. Yes, it's my favorite. In the movie, the protagonist, Walter, a negative asset manager for Life magazine, is a heavy user of daydreams. In them, he imagines himself doing fantastic things, but in real life, he's a quiet Mr. Steady man, taking care of his sister and aging mother. But things get interesting when a valuable film negative is lost, and he has to go and chase down the photographer, who in turn is chasing down a volcano eruption in Iceland. Sequences show Walter longboarding down beautiful winding Icelandic roads to the beat of Far Away by Junip, as well as leaping into a helicopter to Space Oddity by David Bowie and performed with Kristen Wiig in this. So, yeah, I decided that I needed to go and experience that for myself. This past spring, I knew it was finally time. I was financially able with few commitments at home, so I got on Google Flights late one night and I booked my ticket. So there, no going back. I had never been out of the country before except for when I was about 6 and my family went to Canada. However, I did have a passport because a few years before, my best friend and I had decided to move to New Zealand. I don't know why. I don't know why we decided to do that. I don't remember. But we got as far as securing passports before finding out that she was expecting. So that did not happen. But here's what I did know about Iceland. Number one, Iceland is really cheap. Super cheap to fly to and super cheap to stay in if you're booking hostels and Airbnbs. Number two, they drive on the same side of the road as we do. So that was very reassuring to me. Number three, their currency is the krona. Number four, Reykjavik is the capital and the only city in the country. Number five, it's cold and windy, so wear sturdy boots and a heavy jacket, but don't forego fashion unless you want to look like a tourist. This is what I heard. Number six, if you decide to drive around and enjoy the natural wonders, always fill the car up with gas at every opportunity. There are long stretches of road without any signs of life, except for occasionally a farmhouse here and there, some sheep or some horses. Iceland is considered Instagram gold. Take pictures, make everyone jealous. And it's considered Instagram gold because number eight, it's partly because of the natural thermal pools. Like, they're beautiful. And in particular, the Blue Lagoon, famously visited by the Kardashians. Number nine, Reykjavik is expensive. Expensive. So being frugal is vital. And even the extreme of which comes actually pretty naturally to me, so I didn't think much of it. Number 10, millennials flock to the southern town of Vík to visit the black beaches. If you don't like crowds, stay away. Number 11, if you rent a car, make sure to pay attention to whether or not it's F-road compatible. F-roads are mostly gravel, dirt, sometimes icy, but never paved. It's important to make sure to have a vehicle that can handle that if you're wanting to really explore all the natural beauty. So I also knew that it would be smart to book accommodations well in advance, so that's what I did. I decided I wanted to have the experience of staying at a hotel in downtown Reykjavik the first night in, so as to give me a day to recover from the flight. I booked my reservation at the Blue Lagoon for the next day, and I secured a premium ticket, which came with a complimentary drink from the floating bar, a mud mask from the floating mask bar, a fluffy bathrobe, a towel, and a pair of flip-flops. Otherwise, you have to bring your own towel. No bueno. I decided that after that, I would continue on south to the little island of Vestmannaeyjabar, where I would stay the night at a bed and breakfast within walking distance of the ferry. In fact, everything was within walking distance of it. For the final night, I booked a capsule at the Puffin Nest Capsule Hotel right down the street, and I discovered that puffin penguins were all over the island. There was also awesome hiking and plenty of museums to explore, so I knew this was going to be awesome. Vestmannaeyjabar translates to West Man Island. After wondering to myself and being asked what language Icelanders speak, I looked it up. Are you ready for it? They speak Icelandic. It almost seems like a bad joke, but I didn't know. I didn't know. A lot of people didn't know. And it's true. On that tiny island, they have an entire language all to themselves. So, finally, the car. I chose a car rental place by recommendation and booked a regular little Kia with good gas mileage, since I knew I probably wouldn't be able to save myself if I went off-roading and got stuck somewhere out in the wilderness. So I decided I wouldn't be leaving paved roads, and it made sense. Here was the first lesson learned. Cars are not cheap. Even though it was probably the least expensive car available, and even more affordable since it was manual transmission, I would not pay nearly $400 again unless I was splitting the cost with a companion or two. Unfortunately, public transport is not an option on Iceland, unless you want to pay a hefty fee for a bus. No thanks. The car was the cheaper option, and it gave me the freedom to roam around. Next, I focused on getting the proper clothing for the trip. I got a pair of black fleece-lined leggings, some fleece-lined sweatpants, two heavy sweaters, and some lined duck boots. In addition to those, I packed a light puffy vest, a white tee, a pair of sneakers, and a swimsuit for the lagoon. I also took along my grandmother's heavy tweed coat for warmth, a beanie hat, and a blanket scarf. For toiletries, I got a small clear zip-up bag, filled it with tiny little containers of toothpaste, face wash, etc., makeup wipes collected from hotels, yes, I'm that person, and a couple of free sample perfumes you can get from Sephora. I did forget deodorant, but I thought, it doesn't matter, right? I never sweat. I just don't sweat. Iceland is cold. I'm not going to be sweating. Second lesson to learn. One sweater is enough. The two samples of perfume was not enough, and always bring deodorant. Speaking of which, bring a black t-shirt instead of a white one, because, you know, sweat stains. So, my plane was booked. I made sure that I got all window seats. I had taken care of accommodations. The car was waiting for me. I brought a thin cloth bag that I could put food and produce in because I wouldn't be eating out, except for one glorious meal that I had saved up for. I brought packets of protein powder and a small shaker bottle to help me save even more money, and I downloaded the app called Happy Hour, which tells you all about the happy hour times for bars in Reykjavik, and that was in case I wanted to go out for a drink. I had my clothes, I had packed my bag, I was ready. So I drove to Atlanta because everyone knows you should not fly out of Huntsville unless you don't mind selling your firstborn to pay for it. When I got there and I tried checking in, I discovered that my flight had been canceled. Yeah, canceled because of Hurricane Michael. The soonest flight after that was rerouted to JFK Airport and leaving the next morning, bright and early. The flight got canceled right as I arrived. If I had known any sooner, I would have turned around or never even left Alabama, but there I was. By the time they were able to get me rebooked for the flight to JFK, it was evening and I had nowhere to go. And airlines don't give you hotel vouchers for flight cancellations or delays caused by weather. No, sir. So I had to call my hostel in Reykjavik, cancel my reservation. Thankfully, they didn't charge me a late cancellation fee because how could I have known? I also had to call the car rental place and get that sorted out. And I had to provide proof that my flight had gotten canceled. I got a hotel in Atlanta. I took a shuttle there and I went to bed feeling very aggravated. The next morning, I woke up bright and early and hopped onto my flight to JFK. It went well, except that I didn't get a window seat. And in fact, I didn't get a window seat on any of the flights after that. It was kind of sad. I landed in JFK and looked at my new ticket for the connecting flight. No gate was printed on it. And I waited nearly 6 hours for the Icelandair check-in counter to open because my flight was the first flight of the day for them at 6 o'clock in the evening. The connecting flight to Reykjavik was overnight, and we landed at 5:30 in the morning, Iceland time. It was not pleasant. If at any point in the future I get rebooked onto an overnight flight, I'm going to upgrade to first class so fast, it's worth the extra money. Just a side note, for anyone visiting Iceland soon, all international flights land at the Keflavik Airport, which is in the center of Reykjavik. There is also a Reykjavik Airport, but that one is for domestic flights. So if you have a car rental company pick you up, don't tell them to go to the Reykjavik Airport because it's not the same and you will get stranded. Keflavik. Tell them the Keflavik Airport. I was able to call my car company and let them know I had landed. They came and got me, took me to the office. Like I said before, I got a car and I selected manual transmission because it was cheaper. And sure, I knew how to drive that, I thought. I had learned a long time ago in a very, very, very vintage white sort of convertible, the kind where the clutch is not sensitive whatsoever. But this brand new little Kia was so sensitive that it cried when I gave it a funny look, and I may or may not have skidded on the gravel a few hundred times. So yeah, it drew attention. And yes, the engine stalled on me, and one of the workers at the office came out to ask me if I needed a refresher course, which I gladly accepted, and we became friends. But enough of that. Suffice to say that I had a difficult time coming out of complete stops, especially going up hills, and especially in the middle of traffic. And being flustered really seemed to make it just so much worse. But I eventually managed and got the hang of it. And now I can say that I really did learn how to drive manual in Iceland, which is pretty cool. The gas mileage was also amazing. Filling up with gas was a bit different. Even when you pay with card at the pump, it's like paying with cash because you select an amount rather than just swiping and then filling till it's full. The smallest amount is about $10, I think, so the whole fill up at every opportunity is a bit pointless if you've only used a little, which in my case I had because of the good gas mileage. If you're going road tripping through Iceland, it might be a good idea to see about filling up a gas can or two to take with you. Lesson number 3. Maybe just don't rent a car if you're going alone. And now, to the Blue Lagoon. The drive was a bit long, but it was breathtakingly beautiful the entire way. So much green moss, which, by the way, you're not allowed to step on, and that kind of brings me to something else you should never do in Iceland. Pull off on the side of the road. The roads are incredibly narrow, and there are usually never any shoulders to even pull off on. And yes, there's only a few people on the road, but some people simply take a moment to stop in the middle of the road for a quick photo snap, but this is a bad idea since roads are so loopy and because Icelanders speed. Yes, they do. You might hear differently and that you shouldn't speed in Iceland because fines are a couple thousand depending on the speed, and that is true. You shouldn't speed, but Icelanders do, and they will promptly pass you if you are going any less than 15 kilometers over the speed limit. In fact, they like to pass a lot, and dangerously so, as I witnessed a few times. It was kind of scary. So yeah, don't stop on the side of the road. The Blue Lagoon can be seen from quite a distance away, actually, because of the steam. It was really cool. There's a restaurant and a gift shop inside. The premium ticket holders get to go in an expedited line, which I was really glad for. I was handed my robe, my towel, sandals, and I made my way to the women's changing room. And by the way, if you decide that you don't want to spend a large amount of money for a thermal pool experience and decide to go to one of the local pools instead, there's one in every town. Just keep in mind that there is no privacy and that you are required to shower, sans swimsuit, before you go into the water. This was true for the Blue Lagoon as well. However, there were private shower stalls and lockers were provided. If you do decide to go local, no worries. By the way, Icelanders do not care. That sort of thing generally isn't something that Europeans are uncomfortable with, which meant that at the Blue Lagoon, I could tell who was American and who wasn't. Oh my gosh. The water was milky and bluish white. I went in the morning before the crowds got there, so it felt a little otherworldly. Everyone was really hushed. The water was hot and stretched out in front of me indefinitely. The steam allowed me to see another human occasionally, each of us just kind of wandering silently through the water. Nothing made a sound except for the wind, the constant wind, the steam, and a single crow that chuffed at us from a tall perch. I got my complimentary drink. They had wine available, slushies, smoothies, soda, juice, everything. I selected the Icelandic beer and found a place to enjoy the contrast of cold and hot while people watching. Most everyone there had discovered the mud mask bar first, and without a mirror to delicately put it on, the faces of everyone looked rather comically smeared with chalky white. There's a relaxation area to visit when you come out of the pool, basically a deck overlooking the lagoon with a bunch of chairs that are somewhat akin to deck chairs that you would find on a boat. So I wrapped my fluffy robe around me, I laid back in one of these, and I put the towel over my eyes, and then I fell asleep. I didn't intend to, and I don't know if I snored, but I gotta say, it was the nicest feeling in the world to nap like that. I showered before changing back into my clothes, and I realized the next lesson to be learned was, even though nobody else was wearing a swim cap, wear one anyway to protect your hair. The heavy minerals in the water are great for skin, but awful for hair. It felt like hay for days after I arrived back in Alabama. I hit the road again and drove 3 hours to the port where my ferry would depart for West Man Island, only to discover that the ferry would not be using that port because of low tides. Is there another ferry? I asked. Yes, said the lady at the desk. Over back an hour and a half the way you came. She pointed to the map and wrote down the name of the ferry port for me. My GPS couldn't locate the port, so I selected the general vicinity on the map and took off in that direction. My GPS ended up taking me down an F road, so I had to go at a snail's pace to avoid getting gravel dings in the car. Another lesson learned. Don't just get the name of the place. Write down the name of the road, or a connecting road. Write down several things that the GPS could possibly locate. As it was, I got lost, and I had to stop and ask for directions. But I wasn't far away when I did, and I arrived at the port as the rain started to pour. I ran into the office about 2 hours before time for the last ferry departure at 7:30. Just you? Said the girl at the desk. Me and my car, I replied. We'll have to put you on the waiting list, she said. The reservation list for cars on the ferry was already full. They would have to wait and see if possibly someone didn't show up or if they would have room for my car after they loaded the others up. The only ferries that I've been on prior to this were like the little ones that you just drive up to and pay right there before you go on and cross the river or whatnot. So this was the fifth lesson learned. Always book literally everything ahead of time, even if you don't think you need to. Check, just to be sure. This was possibly the most stressful part of the trip, waiting to see if my car would make it on the ferry with me. I went ahead and bought a ticket for myself, because I knew I'd be able to walk to my accommodations from the port once we docked. However, the trip back would not be such a sure thing. There was only one ferry, and it divided its time between two ports, going to whichever one had better weather conditions. Because I left from this port, that didn't mean I'd be delivered back to the same one. It would most likely go to the other port since the weather, once the weather was better and because it was closer, which meant that I would have to take a bus all the way back to my car. So this was not looking good, and I admit I was about to cry. Not to worry. My car made it on, and once aboard, I was able to explore the ferry, and it was like a little cruise ship. There was a cafe, a restaurant, an aisle of candy, snacks, a movie theater, sleeping bunks, and a miniature museum upstairs. It took 3 hours to reach Westman Island from that port, so altogether it took me about 9 hours from the time I left the Blue Lagoon to finally reach Westman Island. Originally, it was just supposed to take 4 hours. I explored a little, but the waves were so choppy that nobody was able to walk, so I went and took a nap in one of the bunks, waking up occasionally to hear people vomiting violently and praying that I wouldn't have to do the same. I didn't, by the way. We reached the island, and I quickly discovered that the address for the bed and breakfast was entirely wrong. I had to call the owner, and she graciously came and found me and led me back to the house. Her name was Hrefna. "We actually don't serve breakfast here," she said, "but you can take your room key across the street to the bakery and they'll give you a discount." So that's what I did. The next morning, the sun was shining, I got to sleep in, and when I was dressed and ready, I skipped over to the bakery where I had one of the most, I had the most amazing donut that I've ever had in my life. I'm sorry, Krispy Kreme. Sorry, Duncan, you just don't compare. What amazed me even more was the other offerings displayed behind the glass. Fresh bread, croissants, rolls, bear claws, pastries galore, and some giant sticky buns. Each, and I kid you not, were easily the size of a curled up cat. It was a proper bakery. We just don't have anything like that here. I don't know how to explain it. After eating my donut, I got a chicken sandwich to have later on for lunch, along with something they called a lankyon, or a long john. Literally, a long john. Have you ever had a homemade Boston cream pie? The filling isn't custardy, nor is it like frosting. It is truly a cream, but it's not milky, and it's almost translucent. That was the filling in this long john, and it was frosted with chocolate, and oh my goodness. I walked around the town looking for a bookstore because I hoped to get a tiny notebook like the one Dory Nutt gave me as a souvenir. It was very useful. I was going to use it on my next trip, but because I arrived nearly a day late due to the goose chase with a ferry, it was Sunday and everything was closed. So I just spotted a staircase rising out of the side of the road next to a hill and decided to climb it. It was a hiking trail, and I got some beautiful pictures. I found the highest spot and sat and ate my sandwich and long john. Both were incredibly delicious. Let me take a moment to tell you what the view was like. The island is so beautiful. It's very mountainous. And in this little kind of pocket or valley in the middle of it is where the town of Vestmannaeyjabar sits. And it's all painted white. Everything is just white with maybe pops of color here and there. Of colorful roofs, or you know, maybe even some siding that's colorful, and at the top of a hill in the distance was a church, a little red church, just sitting there, kind of all by itself. And I found that was kind of common with most towns that I passed through in Iceland. There was always a church that was sitting on top of a hill, all by itself, and usually it was painted red. Very beautiful. The mountains were grassy, very, very green. And like I said, so mountainous. It's just amazing. And in the distance, you could see little specks of white sitting on the very tops of these mountains. And I looked closer and I realized they're sheep. They're actually sheep. It was beautiful. Birds everywhere. The water, the mud, the dirt is black. Pitch black. It's all black. So I got lots of pictures. I ran out of film, but it was very nice. And once I was tired of exploring, I decided to go ahead and check into the capsule hotel, only to discover that, once again, the address was entirely wrong. And once again, I called Hrefna. She literally pulled up beside me in her car, pointed, and then escorted me around the block to where the hotel stood. I walked in to find it very, very nicely decorated, but completely empty. On the counter, there were two keys. One was labeled Stacy, and the other Emily. Beside those was a note that read, "Need help? Call this number." So I did, and the voice on the other end said, "Is this Stacy?" No, this is Sarah. Are you trying to check in? I'll be right over." So I sat down on the velvet settee and just waited. Soon after, a tall blonde woman hurried in wearing, she was wearing leopard print heels. And she said in broken English, "Hi there. Sorry, I was at a friend's birthday dinner." She changed into some flat shoes. "I'll show you your capsule." She led me into a large warehouse-like space painted black and very dark with silent, white, futuristic-looking capsules stacked two or three high. She pointed out mine, showed me how to work the buttons on the inside, and directed me to the tiny lockers where I could put my things. Down a dark hall and through some ghostly empty rooms was the bathroom. All of this was cheerfully presented to me before she turned, sort of seriously, and said, "You're the only one here." "Yikes," I said. "Do you not want to stay here? I have rooms available upstairs. They have large windows. There's a small fee to upgrade." "Sure. Can I see one?" I asked. She took me up a flight of very wide, red-carpeted stairs and unlocked a door at the end of a hall. There was a private bathroom, a coffee station, a television, hooks for clothes, two white-clad beds, and the window was, in fact, very large. "This is perfect. I'll take it." So once I settled in and freshened up, I focused on looking for dinner. This was that one grand meal that I had been planning for, that I had saved up for. I was going to experience the famous seafood of Iceland. But it was Sunday, and next to nothing was open. There was a cafe and a restaurant on the dock, so I decided I would go to the restaurant. Walking through the town at night was really eerie, just straight up. Dark windows, everything looking deserted, damp streets, and total silence except for the water and the wind. Not even a seagull made a sound. I arrived at the restaurant, which also looked deserted until further inspection. There were just a few people inside. I sat down and glanced at the menu. No seafood. Mostly American type, such as hamburgers, steak, salad bar, chicken. I was kind of disappointed, so I just ordered the soup from the salad bar, which cost me 1,000 krona. Also ordered a Turkish pepper milkshake, thinking it would taste like the licorice that I'm used to. Icelanders love two flavors, orange and licorice. Everything is flavored with one of those two things. It did not taste like licorice. It tasted like pepper with a slightly sweet aftertaste. It bit the back of my throat. So, lesson learned. Sample it first. I sent it back with profuse apologies, and they were very gracious. They offered to switch it out for cookies and cream milkshake, which ended up being amazing. Together, the soup and the milkshake cost me about between 2,000 and 2,500 krona. This was also the moment that I finally understood the krona. The krona is basically the equivalent of the American penny. How many pennies is $10? Think about it. It's 1,000. How many is $5? 500. So, a dollar is equal to 100 krona. At the bed and breakfast earlier that day, I bought a homemade wool hat for 2,500 krona, about $25. When I arrived back at the hotel, the owner was there again. I had seen a little movie house along the main street earlier and noticed that they were showing Venom at 2,100 on Sunnedagur. I knew that Sunnedagur was Sunday, which was today, so I tried to go in and buy my ticket, but the doors were locked and the place looked empty, just like the rest of the town. It was only an hour away from 9 o'clock, so why was it closed? I asked the hotel manager, the hotel owner, whose name was Svava, and if she knew if the movie house would open or if I had made a mistake in my translation. I'm not sure, she said. Let me ask my doctor. She sat down, pulled out her phone, and did a web search first, but when nothing came up, she repeated, I'll ask my doctor. I mean, was this place so small that she called her doctor like you would a friend? I wasn't sure. I didn't know. She held the phone to her ear, chattered in Icelandic for a moment, and then hung up and turned to me. Okay, so my doctor says that yes, the theater is open for Venom at 2100, which is 9 o'clock, in about 15 minutes. And that was when I realized. She had been saying, daughter, except she was pronouncing the G. The movie house was just a block away. And I say movie house because it's the same size as all the other buildings in Westman Island. Little, painted white, and tall. As I walked up, I could see that a horde of young people were jumping out of their cars parked on the street, running into the building. The lobby was a medium-sized room with a tiny room off to the side that served as the concession stand with a window. Everyone was in line, stocking up on snacks and goodies. One for Venom, I said, and paid with my card. I signed the receipt and waited to be handed my ticket. Want a snack? They asked. No, thank you. Okay, next, was the reply. No ticket was given to me, so how was I supposed to know which showing room to go to? I followed the stream of youth going up the stairs. They were all going into one room, which was either very small from what I could tell from the hall, or everyone inside was having a party. I went in and realized this was the only showroom in the whole place. It was the size of a somewhat large home theater, and it was full to the brim of young people, all speaking loudly in Icelandic, and they all seemed to know each other. So I sat down, feeling rather alone. But once the lights were darkened and the movie came on, I felt a sudden swell of pride, and one thought spoke loudly into my mind. We gave you this. I noticed that people seemed to be turned off. Like, they just kind of shut down when I would speak to them in English. The smile would fade from their faces and they would kind of grow distant. And I felt ashamed somehow that I couldn't respond to them in Icelandic or that I was, you know, not from there. But in that moment, when the movie came on, I was very proud to be American. Getting close to halfway through, I started to feel the effects of the milkshake and decided it was best to visit the restroom before the story got exciting. So I got up and scooted out of the room, noticing that I got some odd looks as I went. Back down the stairs, I asked the girl for directions. Another odd look, but she pointed me to the ladies' room. When I was done, I went back to my seat. Not even 5 minutes later, the movie shut off. The lights flipped on, and nearly everyone in the room jumped up and ran out. Like, what on earth? It took me a couple of seconds to realize that it was an intermission, and that it must have been why I got the confused looks. After a while, everyone came back, snacks fully replenished, drinks refilled, excitement bubbling through their movement as they settled back in, and the movie resumed. It was a really good movie, by the way, but I didn't understand the hairstyle of the romantic interest. I don't know why that bothered me, but it did. The credits began to roll, and again, the majority of those in the room jumped up and left. Didn't they know, I thought? This is a Marvel movie. You stay till the final scene after the credits. Everybody knows that. Maybe they didn't care. But how could you not? I still don't understand why so few stayed. So I stepped out into the night air once it was over among the flood of still energetic teenagers running to their car. The door locked behind us. Some looked after me as I walked off in the opposite direction towards my hotel. Another lesson learned. Icelanders love athletic wear. They are only ever wearing Adidas and Nike everything, with like maybe a hooded feather down coat. Constant casual. I looked like I was going to the opera in my long heavy tweed overcoat. Athletic wear probably packs lighter anyway, so that's what I'm going to do next time. The next morning, as I packed my car, a child called from across the street. Hello! Hello, I called back, allowing myself to, just once, use the same accent. The ferry ride was beautiful and cold. I went above deck and looked out, taking video. In the distance, I saw two other tiny islands, like the heads of giants rising suddenly out of the water. Perched on the top of each one was a little house. This was stunning because they were just sitting out there, clear as day, tiny as they were, in the middle of the grass growing on the tops of these islands like hair. With no obvious way of getting onto the island, I wondered how on earth they got there. And that was when I recognized one of them. So if you Google house alone on island meme, the result will be a meme that has some language in it, just forewarning, but it shows an aerial view of this island and the house sitting there all by itself, not even a driveway or a road leading to it. And the caption reads something to the effect of, "Because people suck, that's why." The meme was viral, and I had seen it several times. And here I was. I couldn't believe that I had just randomly stumbled on the island itself. If you're wondering, the house in the meme is actually a hunting lodge because Icelanders like to hunt puffin penguins. Yeah, it's true. Speaking of puffin penguins, they had all migrated by the time I got there, so there was none left. Perhaps another lesson learned. Everything else went smoothly, thank goodness, except for when we landed late in Boston for the connecting flight. I found out that my gate had been changed to the other side of the airport and the flight had been delayed, but they weren't sure by how much, so I ran, worried that I would miss my flight across the entire airport in my sweatpants, boots, and puffy vest. And remember that I had forgotten deodorant. And I didn't buy any I didn't buy any in Iceland because I continued to forget. And I arrived and found that it was delayed by about 3 hours. So we were supposed to land in Atlanta at 11:15. The flight didn't board until 11 o'clock, and we landed at 2 in the morning. Looking back, it kind of feels like the trip to Iceland was cursed or jinxed. One thing after another went wrong, but it wasn't all bad. I made friends with two French girls who had rented a camper van, a great idea to consider if I go back, a very handsome young French man with cool shoes who was nice to me despite my sweaty, frenzied state, a Swedish translator from California who is also an artist, a German girl who is on her way to volunteer on an Icelandic farm, something I didn't know was a thing, and an Icelandic photographer from Reykjavik who invited me to a friend's birthday party. I don't know if I would have gone, because it was last minute, but I didn't have to worry about it because I was flying out that night. I feel the need to go back and do it right next time. Maybe it's kind of like a emotional recompense, do-over. Next time I'm going to stay in Reykjavik instead of driving around, bring only warm athletic wear and a casual coat, save up more money and buy less before leaving for the trip, and maybe stay a little longer and relax more, and never, ever forget to bring or buy deodorant.